Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday noon Zoom coaching with Corinne, except you have Kathy today. Corinne, hello. Corinne is traveling today. So just to make sure you guys had ample opportunity for coaching, she asked me to step in for her. And so here's how we're going to roll today. There is one person signed up for this call. It's Hannah. Hannah Samuelson. I hope I'm saying that right. Hannah, if you're here, I would like to go ahead and take care of you. Once I'm finished with, so go ahead and raise your hand if you're here. Okay, I see you. Once I'm finished with Hannah, I'll take three or four more other people, depending on what our time looks like. So if you want to go ahead and get in line, feel free.
Does my appearance matter to you?
Oh my gosh, Siri is talking to me. I don't even know why. Okay, all right, Hannah, let's get you started. It's crazy. I will tell you all, if you want to talk amongst each other, use the chat. Make sure you are talking to all attendees and panelists. If you have a question for me, you can put it in the Q&A. Hannah, I apparently cannot talk and promote someone to panelist at the same time. So please raise your hand again. I'm so sorry. Thank you. I will try and do this without talking. All right, here she comes now. I'm looking for your video. Hannah, I don't think you have your video on because I don't even have the option to turn on your video. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you to check your settings. I'm going to take you back down to attendee. I want you to go out of Zoom, check your settings. Oh, she's already gone. Go out of Zoom, check your settings, and then come right back in and make sure your camera is on. Okay, so we'll go to Janine and then we'll watch for Hannah to come back. All right, Janine's got some video going on here. There you go. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What's up?
I am calling because I am a nighttime eater. I get out of bed and eat, and I have journaled about it. I have written about it. I have struggled with it, and I'm still not winning. I still find myself getting out of bed and getting something to eat. So I really need help, and I feel like I'm missing something. I'm not getting this, how to do this, how to stop doing this.
Is it every night?
Most nights.
Most nights. Are you awake when you eat, or are you finding the wrappers when you wake up? So it's a conscious decision to get up.
It's before I go to sleep.
It's before you go to sleep. So walk me through your process.
Well, I have multiple sclerosis, so I go to bed pretty early, but I'm unable to go to sleep right away because it takes a while for my body to relax. It goes through a lot of muscle twitching and all of that. So in that time period when I'm restless, that's when I get up and go get something to eat.
Okay. When did you start with this, Janine?
September.
September. Okay. Have you been through the model course? The fat girl thinking part of No BS?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're going to work some models. That's why I asked that. I wanted to know how much. Okay. All right. So your C line is bedtime, relaxing, right?
Yes.
Relaxing your muscles. What else? What else is going on at that time?
Oh, probably I'm thinking of everything. We've had a little family turmoil recently. And so thoughts about that are going through my mind and ways to repair some relationships.
Okay. Well, let's go back to, tell me what's happening around bedtime. So you said that you started saying you have MS. We'll put that in the C line, although I don't know. We'll see how it fits in.
Okay.
You have MS, you're going to bed, you're trying to relax your body, right?
Right.
Why do you get up?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah, if you're trying to relax your body, why are you getting up?
I think I get bored. I think the biggest thing is I get bored.
Okay. So the feeling then might be bored. And the action is get up and eat.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Why are you bored?
I don't know. I've always been such a doer and busy person, and being still and doing nothing is a challenge for me.
Is bedtime the only time you're still?
No.
Okay. Tell me about another time of the day that you are still.
I usually have to rest off and on throughout the day. And so I try to do things like knit or crochet that keep my hands busy, because you can't eat if your hands are doing something else. You can't put food in your mouth.
Okay. So other times when you have to rest, you have urges to eat and you use knitting or crocheting to distract from the urge. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there other times when you don't knit or crochet that you do eat when you're bored or restless? Or trying to rest?
I do. Sometimes in the afternoon, I will eat.
Okay. So maybe this isn't just a nighttime issue. Maybe this.
I just think it's worse at nighttime.
Well, it's harder and that's nighttime. It's probably because you're trying to quiet your brain. There's not a lot of stimulus, so it might feel worse at nighttime because you don't. You know, the room, I don't know if you darken your room. I'm guessing you do. If you're trying to go to bed and you're trying to relax, you darken your room. So.
The room is dark, but I watch TV when I'm...
Yeah. So what you've done is you've conditioned your brain. It sounds to me, tell me if I'm wrong, you've conditioned your brain to when you need to relax or rest, maybe we should eat too.
Yes.
Okay. What, when you are trying to rest yourself, whether it's at nighttime or during the day or whatever... Is it really boredom that you're feeling?
Sometimes.
Is it ever anger or frustration or judgment or anything like that?
No, not usually.
Anything more uncomfortable? You good? You know, you reconciled with having the MS and needing to...
Oh, yeah. I've had MS for almost 20 years. So, yeah.
Okay. Good.
It's not usually anger. I'm usually a glass half full positive kind of person.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I wanted to make sure it wasn't going down that road that you're trying to avoid any, you know, I hate my body thoughts or anything like that.
Right.
I'm curious about the boredom. I'm curious about why you feel bored at night, during the day, anytime. Why do you feel bored? And it's a thought that creates the boredom. Okay.
Right.
I don't have anything to do, Kathy. Why else would I feel bored? Okay. It's not, you know, daytime TV sucks. Kathy, why else would I be bored?
I think it's a habit. And I think that's how, you know, when I became permanently disabled, mm-hmm. I can do a little and then I have to sit down for a while. And then I do a little and then I sit down for a while. And, you know, I was a registered nurse. I worked 12-hour shifts. I was always on the go, always busy. I'm not good at sitting and not being busy. And it's something that I think that I started eating at the times when I would stop to rest. It just became a habit.
Okay. That's the thought. That's the one I was looking for. Did you hear it?
That it's become a habit?
Nope.
No.
I'm not good at sitting and not being
busy. I'm not good at resting. Yes. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, that's what's creating the boredom. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just sitting. I'm just resting.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's
and
absolutely
so
correct.
You get bored and you get up and eat, which means you entertain yourself with food.
Yes,
that's the result. I mean, seriously, that's what it is.
It is.
It's really interesting because during the day, you entertain yourself with knitting. So you don't eat. Right? But at night, you're not going to knit in a dark room, I guess.
Right. Well, yeah.
There's your model. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
The circumstance is bedtime, relaxing your muscles because you have MS, just kind of settling in. And your thought is, I'm not good at sitting and not being busy. And that can translate to, I'm not good at resting. I'm not good at, you know, I'm used to being busy. I don't know how to do this, right?
Right.
And that gives you bored. And when you get bored, you get up and eat. Or you knit, right? And during the day.
Right.
And the result is that you're entertaining yourself with food.
Yes.
Okay. So this is your cycle. It is your habit. And that's why you keep getting up. So in order to change the habit, you have to work on this thought.
Okay.
Right?
My thought of I'm not good at sitting.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to change it to I'm good at sitting?
Or you have to find ways to find evidence that you can sit and relax. What's so interesting about this is if you're able to change your mindset around sitting and relaxing, mm-hmm. you're probably going to relax your body faster and sooner and easier.
I agree.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah.
But if you're sitting there going, I'm so bored. I can't believe I have to sit here. I don't know how to do this. I'm so used to being busy. I used to be a nurse, you know. If you're having that dialogue in your mind, all you're doing is really judging the fact that you have to sit and be relaxed and you have to sit and relax your body rather than saying, this is my new superpower because this is
okay,
how I take, this is how I take
I,
care of
I
myself.
I don't like the fact that I have to sit and rest. It frustrates me.
Right.
And so,
right. Remember in early on, I asked you, was there anything else in this model other than boredom? You just said, I don't like that I have to do this. It frustrates
me. I don't. Okay. So sitting and resting is my new superpower?
I don't know. Is it? Do you want it to be?
Yes. I want to be able to sit and rest or go to bed and rest and not put food in my mouth. I want it really bad. And even though I keep wanting it and I've journaled and I've modeled and I've done all these things that I still can't seem to achieve it.
Yeah, that's because you're still dealing with the frustration of not wanting to have to.
Okay.
Okay. What if you just reconcile that this is Janine's life? I have MS. In order to manage my own self-care and to promote my own health, this is what I need to do for myself. And I'm okay with that.
Okay. But
it's like meeting yourself where you are.
Right.
Right? It's allowing yourself to require the rest periods and be okay with it.
Okay.
Then when you start to get a little bored, you find things other than food to entertain you. That when you're lying in bed at night, this is where the urges are going to be the strongest because of, you know, the only stimulus going on around you is the TV because the room is dark. This is where you're really going to have to find a thought that allows you to sit there and be bored and be restless and have that urge to eat. Because your brain is going to go, you know, Janine, we can make this all better if we just have a snack. Right?
Right.
So tell me, this is also curious to me. So you get up and you have a snack and you come back to bed.
No, I bring the snack to bed with me.
All right. Bring the snack to bed. What happens after you're finished with the snack?
Well, if I'm having a really hard time settling down, sometimes I play games on my phone just for something to do with my brain.
So what if you just went straight to that?
I don't know. I could try that. I mean, but I'll play games and then I'll still get up and go get something to eat.
Well, because eventually you stop eating. Eventually you stop eating. Tell me about what happens when you stop eating.
My body starts to calm down. I eventually get tired and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. So the eating isn't relaxing you.
No.
And I think you have to tell yourself that in the moment. Okay. I think you have to recognize that the eating isn't relaxing you. It isn't relaxing your body. It isn't relaxing your muscles. In fact, it's probably just winding you up again because you're getting up back out of bed. You know, you're perpetuating a cycle of relax a little bit, get up, unrelax. You know, you're perpetuating that cycle. So that takes you out of that self-care mode as well.
Right.
Right.
Yes. I agree with everything you're saying. I just,
but you just what?
I just want to be able to get there. I want to be able to say those right things to myself. And, I really feel like this is my biggest hurdle. I do so well with my 24-hour plan until I go to bed.
Okay. Are you planning these nighttime snacks?
I do plan. I plan snacks so that I will at least choose healthier things.
Okay. Is that, and that's what you're doing? You're choosing the healthy stuff when you go downstairs to eat?
Yes.
Okay. So you're being realistic. That's good. I'm going to tell you, I think you should create for yourself 3 or 4 little mantras for your nighttime. Like,
okay,
you know, maybe I'll try, you know, what was it? The first thing I said, relaxing is my new superpower. Relaxing my muscles is my new superpower.
I like that.
Yeah. Telling yourself, if I get up, it's a setback to my relaxation.
Okay. I need to write that down.
Yeah, you might even create for yourself, this would be so cool, like a relaxation protocol for your bedtime routine.
Okay.
Okay. And let's say instead of eating, let's say you spend 15 minutes in a warm bath.
Okay.
Rather than going downstairs and getting food to bring upstairs. Or you know, create for yourself, kind of play with a little bit of a bedtime routine that helps you move your mind and your body into relaxation.
Okay. And
so for me, my bedtime routine is I usually already, I'm one of those girls that puts my pajamas on when it gets dark sometimes before.
I understand.
I may or may not have pajama pants on now. I don't. Sometimes I do on these Zoom calls. But I come upstairs, I wash my face, I brush my teeth. I turn on the TV for a minute, I get in bed. I mean, it's always in the same order. And that's what signals my brain that it's time to relax. If you develop a routine, a bedtime routine, Sean Stevenson talks about this in his book, Sleep Smarter, such a good book. But if you develop a bedtime routine, you're starting to signal your brain that it's time for your body to relax. You could add some things. What you've got in your bedtime routine now is get up and get a snack. Once or twice a night.
Yes, I do.
Yes. So what you want to do is create a routine that helps you physically relax. And for you, it could be stretching. It could be a little bit of yin yoga. It could be, you know, a warm bath. You know, start thinking about how you can give yourself a 15 or 20 minute head start on the relaxation before you ever get to the bed. And see if that helps as well.
Okay.
Now, when you get in bed, you're likely to still have that suggestion from your primal brain. Hey, we're in bed. We should eat. That's when you come up with your superpower thoughts. Okay. And you talk back to that primal brain and say, you know what, tonight, I think I'm going to try this with just the games on my phone or just watching the TV or something like that.
Okay.
Does that help? Does that help?
It does help. I think thinking of the fact that I might have a superpower, that's big. That's a big thing for me because I do feel like I have lost some of my power with this disease process. Mm-hmm. So to acknowledge something like that will be really big. And I do think I can set up more of a bedtime routine without food.
Yeah, I think that'll be key for you. There are several girls in the tribe that have MS. Have you ever posted? Oh, look, we've got one on the call here that has MS. I think it would be super great for you guys to connect and talk about how you relax your bodies when it comes time for bed.
I think that at one point I heard there was a subgroup of people who have MS, but I haven't been able to find it.
It's not a PMP official subgroup, if there is one. But if you were to post in the Facebook group, and I don't know who it was that just popped into the chat and said she said she's an MS warrior too. She can look for your post, and you guys, at least the two of you, can connect, and anyone else she knows, maybe she can tag, and then you guys can be, that would be a super cool support system for you to learn what their bedtime routines are and what happens for them. Cause I'm going to guess that all of you all who have MS at some stage in the process have to work on this, particular
the
relaxation.
Sleep.
Yeah. Yes. And the sleep and the rest periods and whatnot. So sound good?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank
take care.
You.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, Hannah, are you back? Good. Promoting you now. Let's see. Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yay, we got you.
Sorry, apparently my webcam wasn't working at all.
That's okay.
My phone.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you got it figured out. So tell everyone why you signed up for a call today.
I joined the tribe in January, and it has completely changed my life. I've lost 75 pounds. It all just really, for whatever reason, resonates with me, and it's worked well with how I guess just naturally think. And in the last 2 months, I have gained and lost the same 5 pounds. So I've not lost anything. Mm-hmm. And I would love to say I was stalled, but that would be a big old fat lie, because what I really am doing is binging more and more and more.
Oh, interesting.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And I see it. I know I'm doing it. Okay. And I'm keep trying to gain control of it and just feel like I'm out of control. And actually on Monday night jumped on the live Q&A with Corinne and posed the question, because a big part of my issue, so I'm good about 24-hour plans. I'm looking at that in my assessment. I'm seeing the binges, and I know that I need to try to get more realistic and match, but it feels like I'm going way backwards. And so that's what I asked her. I was like, am I not just going backwards? And of course she said no, but this has just been a real struggle for me. I feel like I'm, have done so well and now I'm failing. So anyway, that's where I am. That's why I'm here. I'm just, I'm binging more and more and feel like I'm losing ground fast.
Okay. So if we put binge in the action line of your model, what's the feeling that's creating? Have you been doing your recovery worksheets? Are you seeing any patterns? Mm-hmm. What is the predominant feeling?
You know, it varies from, you know, I might be feeling, you know, it can create sort of an excitement feeling for me. It can create
The binge creating the excitement.
Okay, so what happens after I binge?
No.
Right.
So when you're excited, do you binge, or do you get excited because you've binged?
I probably got excited because I binged or during the binge.
Right. Let's back
go
up.
Back
let's,
a step.
Yeah. In fact, let's just talk about the last binge.
Okay.
Tell me, give me all the things about what led to the last binge.
I work from home. I think the feeling I'm most commonly seeing leading up to it is boredom.
Okay.
Up until recently, I was sharing a car with two of my kids, so I was stuck at home a lot. I think I felt very stuck. And I just sort of have this, like, I'll feel like I'm doing really well on my plan, eating so healthy and doing great. And then all of a sudden, I literally just have this, like, well, fuck it, I'm done. I'm going to go eat whatever I want. It's almost like I'm in control. You're not in, you know, you can't control what I'm doing. I get to do this. And I don't know. I mean, that doesn't make a ton of sense. After I binge, I always feel like, oh, I'm going to gain all the way back. I always have. That's what I'm doing. And so I become very, very fearful after the binge. But it's like during it, it's almost like a rebellious feeling. Like,
so why do you
think that makes sense at all?
Yeah. So why do you think, what are you rebelling against?
I keep the word that keeps popping in my head is control. Although I know in reality, no one's controlling me but me, but that's what I think of.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to narrow in on the trigger thoughts, you know, because if you think about the model, mm-hmm. you have a C line, then you have a thought, mm-hmm. then you have a feeling, then you have an action. The action for you is binging.
Okay.
The thought or the feeling is what leads to the binge. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we coach the thought and the feeling so that you can pause your model before the binge.
Right.
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 What you're telling me is everything that happens after the binge.
Gotcha.
Or as you're binging, I'm not sure what you're rebelling against. You said control, but I know, and then you, here's the other thing. Stop coaching yourself. So okay. I can do it. Okay. I have to tell you, I have a coach too. And she'll say, Kathy, there's only one coach on this call. I'm like, oh my God.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So back
to, I just have sort of this moment where before the binge where I just go, that's it. I'm just going to eat what I want to eat.
Okay.
I don't want to get, ridiculously deep, but I would say I've done that at different times in my life where I felt overly controlled by things. Mm-hmm. But I, it's just sort of it'll just be a moment where I'm sometimes I may be trying to avoid some things I have going on, but mostly I just, it's just a very sudden, like, nope, screw it. I'm going to go eat whatever I want.
Okay. So a couple things have come up a couple of times now.
Okay. Okay, good.
And that's overly controlled and rebellious.
Okay.
Okay. So it sounds like, I don't know if it's all binges, but it sounds like this is when you start to feel constrained, mm-hmm. then it's like you're trying to bust through. So what are you being constrained? Are you constraining yourself with your food? Are you restricting? Are you restricted because you don't have a car because you're sharing it with your kids? Are you restricted? You see what I'm saying? Are you?
Yes.
That's
huge. Like as soon as you said it, my brain went, oh my God, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Okay.
I feel restricted and then I do it. Yes.
Okay. So that's the red light to watch for.
Okay.
Okay. Is that restricted feeling? Okay. I want you to tell me all the places in your life where you feel restricted.
I definitely felt restricted by the car thing. We've fixed mm-hmm. it. We bought some cars, so that's gone. But I think that kind of started this habit I've gotten into. Uh-huh. I feel restricted by my courier right now.
By your what, courier?
Mm-hmm.
They won't come get your stuff.
definitely feel restricted in that. Kind of in a limbo trying to figure out what to do with my career.
Oh, career. I thought you said courier.
Career.
I thought you said courier.
I'm wasn't like, sure what you meant by
come guy won't come back. Get your stuff and you feel restricted. Okay, I'm writing it down.
No.
Okay.
Career. Job.
Got it. All job. Right. Like, okay, well, I'll go with this, Hannah, if that's what you want. Okay.
Yeah, no, what job.
Else? Okay, job. That might explain why you're binging at home at work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. And, those are probably the two big ones. But I have been very restrictive, I think, in what I eat, mm-hmm. Which is why I posed the question to Corinne on Monday, is I think I'm realizing that I need to take a step back and meet myself where I'm at a little more realistically, but that feels very scary to me because I have lost all this weight. I've got people asking me all the time if I'm still losing weight and, I just want to be, please don't ever ask me that again.
Okay. So we'll address that just really, really quickly. If you are working on your binging and you have set aside weight loss for a minute because you want to clean up the binging, you're still in your weight loss journey. So the answer is still yes.
Okay.
You know, your brain goes to, well, I haven't lost weight in a couple of months. So, you know, I gotta explain the whole, no, you know, this is just part of your weight loss journey. And it's actually really, really important. I coached somebody, I can't remember, last night or maybe on Sunday, that freely, openly said, I don't want to lose weight right now. I want to clean up my binging. And I was like, that's absolutely perfect. Because if you continue to binge and you continue to try and lose weight, you're just in this restrictive, deprived, overeat cycle, right? Yeah. And that's probably where you are right now.
It is where I'm at right now, 100%. Yeah.
So if you take the focus off of, all right, well, I just binged, now I gotta, you know, not eat for 3 days, or I have to only eat broccoli because I just binged. If you forgive yourself for the binge and you look at the binge and you say, this is why I did this, this is what I can clean up, let's move on from here, and you continue to eat normally, will your weight stall? Probably, but you're at least looking at the binge instead of with judgment, and I shouldn't do that, and this is a problem, as, okay, this is just a process error. This is something I can figure out, and I think it's because the feeling I had before the binge was I felt restricted in some way. So how can I manage that feeling or the thought that creates that feeling without going into a binge? How can I just feel restricted and process that and be okay with it?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, very much, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's super important when you find yourself in this kind of cycle. And it can be at the beginning of a weight loss journey. It can be in the middle. You know, it can show up anywhere. It doesn't matter where it shows up. It's just how you find yourself in the cycle and you treat it without judgment. You treat it with, you know, just this is something else in my journey to learn about.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to watch for. When you have these feelings that you're being overly controlled, mm-hmm. you need to remind yourself just exactly that logical part of your brain says, no, I control everything. It's that primal part back here going, hey, I know what we can control. We can control the pantry. Let's go have some. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So in that moment, you have to hear the two and hear the conversation between the two.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yes. Yes. Actually, huge. Huge. Yeah. Honestly, just realizing the feeling is restricted and having that mm-hmm. moment. I mean, yeah. No, yeah. This makes sense. Yeah.
It's super important when you to identify, you know, just like with Janine, I'm terrible with names, mm-hmm. to identify the feeling and the thought prior to the eating, because mm-hmm. you can't, a lot of times you don't want to just change the action line. You want to really address the thoughts and the feelings so that you can change those so that you never get to the action line.
Right.
So how can you address the thoughts and the feelings that get you there? Okay. So maybe for you, we'll just go with a theme here. My new superpower is controlling myself. I am in control.
I like it. I'm making notes.
We're giving everybody, this is the superpower call. We're giving everybody a new superpower.
I'll take any superpower you want to give me. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So
really be okay with working on the binging and the feeling of restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Being okay with maintaining your weight right now so that you can pull yourself out of this cycle.
Yeah. I think that's got to become my focus for a while.
I think
and it helps that you said that it's okay to believe that's part of my weight loss journey instead of, well, now I'm not losing weight because I'm binging.
No,
I'm in a part of my journey that mm-hmm. is learning not to binge.
Yeah.
So
Corinne has some great calls on the binge cycle, and she has some great calls on understanding what leads to the binge. On the mm-hmm. website, all you have to do is go into video replays. There's a search bar up there. Actually, there's a category for binge calls.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll pull those up.
If you want to learn some more about how she coaches it.
Okay. Awesome. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. See ya.
Have a good day.
You bye. Too. Bye-bye. All right. JimNikki@yahoo.com. Let's see what you got. I'm not sure what just happened. Hang on. Are you there?
Yep. I getting it set up, video. I think.
There we go.
There we go.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you Nikki?
I am Nikki, yes.
Awesome. That's a good guess, right? Yes. How are you? What's up?
I'm good. I am getting ready to go on a vacation. This is the first time that I've gone on vacation alone with my husband since our honeymoon 16 years ago. We always go with friends or family, but I feel I'm scared that I'm going to self-sabotage. I always feel inadequate on vacations, and I feel like I ruin my vacations either by overeating, over drinking, over something to, and I've done a lot of TDLs on this, and basically like a lot of my eating comes down to feeling inadequate about myself. And so I'm just not even sure where to start. You know, it's all my family is very outgoing, so I feel like I get lost and I almost use food as a way to hide rather than to enjoy myself. So I'm just trying to figure out, how do I keep from screwing up this vacation?
Okay. It sounds like, are you super happy with the person you are?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of caught that, didn't I? So, that's the work. That's your work, okay. Is being okay with who Nikki is. Okay. And that's like newsflash, right? You knew that already. And this is why you worry about self-sabotage, because you're not okay with who you are. So tell me about this trip with your husband. Why did you try to take it just the two of you?
It's been just, we've had, we've moved a lot. So every 5 years we move, and it seems like the only time that we ever get to take vacation is if somebody else is involved in it. So family, and usually it's a family member that plans it, which is nice, but I just feel like the two of us don't know how to be alone together. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got kids 13, 11, and 3. So it's just, we need some alone time and really to kind of rekindle our relationship. I just want to have some alone time, some relaxation, no kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I need kind of that break.
Okay.
I had no intention of ever being a stay-at-home mom. And so to be doing this for 5 years, I've lost myself. And so that's a lot of where my eating comes from, is I don't know how to be me.
Yeah. I've lost myself.
Yeah. So
that's the thought. That's the one. I don't know who I am. I've lost myself.
Yeah.
And when you've lost yourself, you don't know how to love yourself because you don't know who you are.
Right.
Okay. So have you really lost yourself? Tell me about Nikki. Tell me just about you.
Well, I've always been the person that has worked like all my life. Since I was little, my parents owned a dealership. Mm-hmm. So I've always worked. So to not be working, to not, almost, it feels like I don't have a purpose, you know, other than being here for my kids or my husband. Mm-hmm. I'm isolated. We live in the country and new to an area. I got a lot of things going on that I'm trying to figure myself out.
Why isn't being a stay-at-home mom? You have a 3-year-old, right? So you have one that's home all the time. Why isn't being a stay-at-home mom a good enough purpose?
I don't know. I think to me, when I think of success, it's somebody who's out there working, somebody that's out there making a difference in numerous people's lives. With my older kids, I think they have their friends, they have things to go do. And so I really don't, I've kind of gone to the foreground of everything, or to the background of everything rather than the foreground. And I don't know. I struggle with that whole you know, what do you do all day? I have no clue. You know, I chase my 3-year around all day long, but I don't accomplish anything. You know, that's, I've got no sense of accomplishment, no sense of here's what I'm doing with my life.
So accomplish is a feeling line. It's created by a thought. And the reason you don't have an accomplished in your feelings line is because you're not allowing yourself to see what your accomplishments are.
Okay.
Okay. So, or maybe the accomplishments that you do have are not good enough for you. Right. The laundry and the dishes and the 3-year-old aren't a big enough deal to be to consider an accomplishment.
Right.
Is that the truth? Yeah.
To me, yes. Mm-hmm. To me, it's, and I know a lot of it has to go with a lot of BS thinking and things that were said to me that I still let bother me. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up being told that I'm never going to accomplish anything. And so I think feeling like I'm not out there blowing up the world that, mm-hmm. you know.
So tell me why you don't put the 3-year-old in daycare and go get a job. Tell me why.
Actually, I've started job hunting. I did put her in daycare about a year ago before we moved. Mm-hmm. She was in an amazing daycare. Mm-hmm. And I looked for jobs. It just seemed like my job search was going nowhere. Okay. I even tried through a temp agency and couldn't get simple jobs. And I think I know the job that I had before, it was not me. I didn't enjoy it. I was good at it. I just didn't enjoy it. And so I've kind of been trying to figure out what it is I want to do. And I want to go back to simple and basic. I don't mind being a secretary or things like that, just so that I get back out with people, but I'm overqualified and it drives me nuts.
Okay. So here's the problem. You don't know who you are, period. It's not just that you've lost yourself by staying at home. You don't even know where you are in the workforce. You haven't decided who you want to be. Who is your future self?
My future self, this one I've actually thought a lot about it. Mm-hmm. I actually want to go and coach people to be better leaders.
Okay.
Like, I love to help other people succeed.
Okay.
And so my day is spent, whether it be in a gym or actually doing like true life coaching in a CEO office, helping other people feel better about themselves.
Okay. So, and what are you doing to create that result?
Well, I started with the PMP because I think that there's a lot of mental BS that I need to get out of my own way. Not only I've been using the modeling to try and figure out too how to get out of my own way for successes. I have a tendency to trip up myself and self-sabotage when I get in a position of leadership, and it's like, okay, I can't do this. Even though other people around me are like, yes, you can. I'm like, no, can't do this.
Okay, so that's self-doubt, and that's normal.
Yep. And so I've been doing a lot of modeling on that to try and figure out how to get out of my own damn way. Okay. And I've started listening to things like the Life Coach School, trying to figure out, you know, is this the route for me? Okay. I had taken courses last year to do medical terminology and realized that's not for me.
So your action line is a lot of listening and a lot of deciding what's not for you.
Right.
All right, but you still have this goal that you're trying to figure out.
Right.
Okay. So does that give you purpose?
No.
Why not? Why do you think it doesn't give you purpose?
I think I feel I'm spinning my wheels. I'm not actually doing an actual action.
That's exactly right. It's a lot of passive action, a lot of thinking about things, a lot of learning about things. You haven't taken any action. That's why you don't feel a purpose in it.
Right.
Right. And then on the flip side, you're taking a lot of action at home, but you're not allowing yourself to see the purpose in it.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, so
absolutely. That's what's going on there. It's not the purpose that you think you want, but it's the purpose that you have right now.
Okay.
So what if you were to think about it in terms of today, this is my purpose. My purpose today is to follow this sweet girl around and to get the laundry done.
Okay.
It might not be the purpose in the big scheme, but today here's what we're doing, right?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Yes. When you go on vacation with your mm-hmm. husband, my suggestion for you is that you create, so you don't feel like you're going in willy-nilly, create yourself a vacation protocol.
I've got one of those.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've got...
And are you going to plan every day you're on vacation?
Absolutely. I've got my planner, mm-hmm. my just a downsized version of the planner, so just the mm-hmm. pages I'm going to need. And mm-hmm. I'm taking that with me because I feel like if I don't do it, I'm going to get lost. And okay. I'm going to be unsuccessful.
Okay. And then your intention for the vacation is connection with your husband, right?
Right. Yep.
But it has a purpose. Look, vacation.
Yay!
Vacation, right?
Yes.
Then when you get home, you have the planner. Every day, I want you to do that journal page. I was going to,
okay.
I'm reaching for mine. And I want you to do it in the morning. I actually had a okay. private client do this and she freaking loved it.
All right.
So in the morning, I want you to use that journal page. It actually even says creating today on it.
Okay.
To set your intention for the day. This is going to set your purpose for the day.
Okay.
It's going to... You know, it's the thought you're working on believing. It's the powerful question you're going to ask. It's the self-care. It's how committed are you to living the best life today?
Okay. Right? Yes.
And then you write about it. This is what I'm going to do today. This is how I want to show up today.
Okay.
Okay. And I bet how I show up today is not beating myself up because I don't have a purpose.
Right.
It's going to be more like... as I look for my purpose, as I work toward my purpose, I'm going to be able to get these things done and feel super accomplished by doing these things today.
Okay.
Do your intentional model.
Sweet.
You have to start, okay. you have to start giving your brain an opportunity to look for your purpose rather than just saying I've lost myself.
Okay.
Because really and truly you get to create whoever you want to be every single day, whether you go to work at home or whether you go to work at work.
Okay.
All right, that's the opportunity you have for yourself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. It really does.
Sort of empowering when you think about it that way.
Yeah, it is. It's mm-hmm. it's losing the old crap.
Yeah.
Well, it feels 100 pounds lighter on my shoulders right now.
Yeah. It's just not indulging in the old crap. If you hear yourself say, I've lost myself, you should immediately come back at your brain and say, I haven't lost myself because every day I set my intention. Every day I decide who I'm going to be that day.
Okay.
And you do it by filling this journal page. I don't know if y'all have the planner or not. If you don't have the planner, can't afford the planner, whatever, you need to print these journal pages anyway. You print them right.
They're amazing.
Because that's my favorite page of the whole planner. I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. See you soon. Enjoy. Where are you going on vacation?
We're going on a cruise. So nice. I'm excited to test out some of my new skills and trying the 2-to-2 and being yeah. able to enjoy without overindulging. So
my big suggestion on that cruise is that you plan your drinks, however yes. many you're going to have, or your drink window. You know, I'm okay. going to drink between 3 and 7 and that's it. Or I'm going to drink. Okay. 2 before noon and 7 after 7 or so, you know, whatever it is, I just give yourself just a little bit of constraint. And then if you find that doesn't work, try a different one the next day.
Okay.
But just keep Sounds yourself good. Mindful because those drinks are free flowing on those cruises, right?
Yes.
have a great time. Enjoy yourself.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Okay. Let's do one more. Who's next? Wanda, you are next.
Hello.
Hello, Wanda.
How you doing?
I'm good. There's that awesome smile again.
Thank you. Still
Man,
coming
you
on.
Just,
coming
you down. Just light me up, I tell you.
I had an awesome time at camp.
Y'all, Wanda was dancing on the dance floor and smiling.
I know, thanks to Mandy, she got me out there because I said I have no rhythm at all.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Well, what I wanted to talk about was the hunger scale and -2 to +2. So I have no, I don't get hungry. And so, like, I did a little experiment with myself, like, to see, because I don't, like, know when, I don't have a -2. So yesterday I said I wasn't going to eat anything until I, you know, got hungry to see, like, what kind of symptoms I would have to let me know. And I pretty much went all day without eating anything. And the first thing I ate at 4:00 p.m. I ate an apple, but even when I ate the apple, I still wasn't really hungry. And then the next time I had anything solid to eat at 7:00, I had a salad. But I don't know if I should, like, if I never get a -2, then when should I eat?
Well, I want to ask you why you ate because you didn't have -2.
I know.
What if you went 3 days with no -2?
I believe I could do that, go 3 days without eating.
So what would be wrong with that?
I know I was going to, I work out too. And mm-hmm. The reason why I ate the salad at 7:00, because I was going to the gym at 8:30. Mm-hmm. And it was more so of, maybe you might get something, feel lightheaded or something if, you know, working out and not having anything to eat. And so I kind of ate the meal more out of fear and not that I was hungry.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did. You were afraid of what might happen, but you didn't really know what would happen. And honestly, if you got lightheaded, couldn't you stop? Say, dude.
Yeah, I could have stopped. I might
have to stop here. I haven't had anything to eat all day because I'm playing with my -2.
Right? Yeah, could have, yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be a super interesting challenge. You do. I promise you, you have a -2.
Okay.
But your body actually has to clean out all the things you've eaten. You know, it has to process all the stuff for you to find -2.
Okay.
So, if you've eaten, you know, when you're not hungry, when your body's not ready for it, consistently over time, then you're not allowing yourself to empty out to find -2.
Okay.
So have you eaten anything?
You think I should do even if it takes me 3 days?
You know what? I don't think it'll take you 3 days, but it might take 24 hours.
Okay.
It's hard to say. Here's what I'd watch for. For someone who's learning how to find -2, your signals might not be tummy hunger. It might be a little bit of lightheaded feeling or a little bit of headache, or, you know, it could be empty tummy. It could be, when I hit -2, when I'm really starting to get hungry, I have real clear, deep breaths.
Okay.
So if your breathing is kind of short most of the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might not, that might be a signal that you need to wait to eat. You might not be at -2 yet. So everybody does have -2. Sometimes you just have to be patient and wait on it. The other thing, Wanda, is your body understands that it can support itself for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and that's not a bad thing either. We affectionately call that dining in.
Right.
And that's okay too.
Okay. Right.
That's okay too. It may tap into reserves for a little bit as you activate the hormone that tells you, it's called the ghrelin. Ghrelin is the hormone that tells you you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
As you decrease the amount that you're eating or you don't eat for a minute, your ghrelin will activate and it'll say, hey, wait a minute, Wanda hadn't fed me in a little bit. I wonder if I should, you know, take some off the right hip or if I should just send a little signal to her brain that we might be getting hungry. So it'll do that as well.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll try that.
Yeah. Just try it and try it in a place where you are comfortable. If you do get a little hunger signal, you're not going to, you know, go freak out or whatever, you know. I think it's interesting to me to experiment with it a little bit.
Okay.
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 And then after you find minus two and you eat to your plus two, find minus two again. And eventually, over a few days' time, your body will regulate.
Okay. All right. I'll try that.
Okay. Does that
All right.
help?
Thank you. Yeah, that
I
helps.
I can't wait for you to come to the January.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
I saw that sign. In fact, Sadie posted. She goes, Wanda signed up for the sixth day. And we were like, yay.
I'm
Wanda's
excited. I would just went today and getting the final things with my job. You know, it's like I went to the doctor, my doctor. They said I need a doctor's note to get clearance. So I went yesterday to get the doctor's note. And then today they tell me I need to go see the employee health doctor. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, here come the BS starting, because, you know, they didn't tell me that 3 weeks ago when I talked to them. But I actually went, you know, I went this morning to the employee health doctor, and he was like, he knew the doctor that gave me the note. And he was like, I don't know what they want from me. You know, you got a reputable doctor here. And then he was like, what do you want to do? Are you ready to go back? And I was like, yeah. And I told him. And so he signed off. So I don't know if that's enough. They're going to send it over. Hopefully that'll be enough, and I'll be going back to work at the end of the month.
Oh, that would be so
I'm excited.
Awesome. Yeah, guess you told all those doctors all this great work you've been doing.
Yeah, I told
right?
them.
Good. Oh, that's amazing. Well, my fingers are crossed that that's all you got to do so you can get yourself back to work, because I know that's what your ultimate goal is.
Yes. All thank right. you so much.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Man, I love her. She's awesome. All right, I'll take one more since we're just at 57. Jolene? You can tell me if I'm saying your name wrong. Hi.
Hi.
The All right, say your name for me.
Jolene.
Jolene. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What's up?
I have lost 20 pounds and did great for a little over 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden I just am unmotivated and I just can't seem to get it together.
Okay.
And I'm just struggling.
Okay. Stage two.
Yeah.
Do you know what stage two means?
You know, I was going to go back over my BS stuff. I remember mm-hmm. reading about it and thinking, I think I thought it would come sooner. And so.
Well, it probably didn't come sooner because you were seeing all that success. 20 pounds in 100 days. That's mm-hmm. some pretty big success there. It's a pound every 5 days. So a little more than a pound a week.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. a couple things were probably happening. You hit a stall because your body, right? Did you hit?
I didn't hit a stall. I just all of a sudden was like,
I'm tired of doing this. Okay.
I'm tired of this.
So let me ask you this. Were you realistic or were you restricting?
Was I realistic with my goals?
With your plans? Yes. With your eating? Or were you restricting your eating?
I felt like I was realistic and I felt like I was doing okay. But then as I stopped, I wondered, because now I feel like I'm going back to some of those. Well, I feel like the last couple of days is just my old bad habits.
Okay. What about exceptions? Were you planning exceptions during your first 100 days? Sounds like a presidential term. The first 100 days.
Yes. Well, I don't feel like I restricted so much, so I didn't feel like I planned exceptions, because I was doing, like, I did 2 Dr. Peppers a day, and I used to drink lots of Dr. Peppers.
Okay.
And then I also did chocolate every day. Okay. So I felt like I was getting all of those in. I just mm-hmm. all of a sudden felt like.
So your brain just decided we've had enough.
Yeah. Basically. I went down a pant size and I bought new clothes and I looked in the mirror and I was like, I look good. I feel good. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if it's the craziness of life right now with kids in school and stuff.
No, it's probably just that you've hit that stage of weight loss that just feels a little bit harder, that uh-huh. where your brain is just like, I don't know if we want to do this forever. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, habit change is hard. It's exciting at first, you know, and you were excited for 100 days, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't know that I want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's really what stage two is. It's questioning everything. The excitement's gone. Now it feels hard. And the way you get out of stage two is you just keep pushing through it. It feels like you're walking through mud. If you keep showing up and saying, this is hard, but I'm going to keep going. Eventually what happens is you hit stage three, and that's where things become a little bit more in your groove.
Okay.
So, when you have an off plan eat or an overeat, you still get right back on plan. You do your recovery worksheet. You look at what's created it. You make sure your plans are realistic through this period for sure. No restricting, or you're just going to like say, forget this. This is stupid.
So you kind of back to day one of like adding all of those.
Well, no, it's not really back to day one. I don't want you to go, oh my gosh, I have to restart. That's not it. It's part of the process. It's part of the normalcy of creating a new habit. I mean, think about it. Let's say do you have a commute to work?
Well, no, but I have a commute to drop several children off at school.
Okay. So you probably have a path that you follow, a little habit path, right? Well, they close one of the roads and you have to create a new path. Well, at first you're like, oh, look, this is pretty. Oh, look at these houses. This is nice. It's a little bit out of the way, but I'm good with this. You know, oh, look, nice scenery. Eventually you're like, damn it, this takes 5 minutes longer than it used to take. That's stage two.
Okay. But
you keep on going through the net, through that new path, because they've closed your old road. You keep on going through that new path. And eventually it feels automatic and you're not mad anymore because it took 5 more minutes. You're back to, well, this is just the path I take.
Mm-hmm.
You see how that analogy can kind of translate to the weight loss plan.
Mm-hmm.
You've hit, well, okay, they've closed that road. I have to take this new one and I'm not so happy about it. But every day you keep taking it until you get used to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Yeah. So make sure your plans are realistic.
Okay.
Okay. Make sure you are assessing every day without a beat down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I ate off plan today, but I did my recovery worksheet and here's how I'm going to use that information tomorrow.
Okay.
And just keep showing up every day until it feels automatic. It could just take a little bit and it might take a little bit longer than that. But if you keep showing up every day, it will eventually become automatic.
Okay.
Okay.
I will give
that. Does that help?
That does.
I will tell you, going down a pant size and standing in front of the mirror going, hey, I look good. That's part of your brain is like, can we stop now? Because we're hitting the hard phase. Can we stop now?
Yep,
the answer is no, because we have a goal. We still want to keep going, right? You still want to lose a little bit more weight?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, the goal might be the next pant size.
Yeah, yeah.
That
okay, that did help. That encouraged.
Uh-oh, I think I lost her. She must have gotten... Oh, there you go. Now you're muted. What happened to the mute? I can't hear you. I think she got a call and it messed up her settings. Say something. Yeah, it's gone. Well, hopefully, okay, she's waving at me. hopefully that helped. And hopefully that helped anybody else that's in the same boat that she's in. All right, you guys, there's one in the Q&A. Let's get that real quick. Oh, it's a advice on helping deal with good days or bad days in regards to the ups and downs of autoimmune disease. Goals and abilities change daily, and managing thoughts of coping out versus pushing too hard. You know what? In a situation like this, when you don't know if you're going to get up and have a good day or a not so good day, try having two options in your plan. Okay. So if you get up and it's, you know, you're feeling great and you're ready to conquer the world and make all the things and all the gourmet foods and all that kind of stuff, that's great. If you get up and it's not a good day, make sure you have something in the freezer that is still on your protocol that you still know will contribute to your health and be okay on your plan, and just kind of have an option. So that's what I always suggest to people who just don't know what their next day is going to bring them. And with autoimmune disease or some of these other things that some people are working through as they're losing weight, sometimes having options like that are good. Corinne talks about having, for herself, she has a period protocol. And I think she's pretty in tune with when she's going to get her period. But sometimes, you know, it springs on her. So she knows she has to activate that second protocol for those days that she doesn't feel good. The days where she needs a little bit easier meal preparation or, you know, workout or something like that. So I think I would just give yourself some options each day, or just to have like a not so good day protocol, you know, plan at the ready if you need it. Okay. All right, you guys, that's it for today. I have the calendar up so I can tell you about the rest of the week. Where's my mouse? All right. So tonight, if you are in Queen's Club, we're doing a Q&A on urges and buffering. So a little bit of the taking control leveled up a notch for anybody in Queen's Club who has any information on that. I'll be on that call at 6:00 tonight. Then tomorrow, Coach Betsy is doing Q&A in Facebook Live in the tribe on taking control, on the taking control module. And then Coach Betsy has office hours on Saturday at noon Central Time. And one more time, it'll be all Coach Betsy all the time this weekend. She is also doing Corinne's noon coaching call. So if you want to be on the noon coaching call on Sunday that Corinne usually does, if you for sure want a spot, go ahead and email support. Otherwise, she'll do office hours format for that. Okay? You guys have a great rest of your day, and I will see you soon. Bye.